Over the halfway line he goes, just rolls it into space for Bamford. Bamford plays the ball into Stuart Dallas. First time goal from Stuart Dallas.
Here we go with Leeds United. We're gonna give the boys a hand.
Welcome to the official Leeds United podcast and welcome back Patrick Bamford.
Hey, Patrick! Oh, I'm glad you missed me.
And Patrick, did you miss us, is the question.
Yeah, I did, to be honest. I was buzzing to get back on it this week, even though I had to wait because Bex was late.
Yeah, but, cheers, Jermaine. This whole retirement thing, he's so busy that he's late to join.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question of sport, was it?
Yeah, it was. Today it was question of sport, yeah. The other day was something slightly different. That was fun as well. Just
so big time, aren't you, Jermaine? Matt, how are you?
I'm fine. We got 3 points, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. So I'm feeling pretty good. I have a really miserable weekend when we lose. So when we win, it's always the complete opposite. I'm curious, Pat, when you were laid on the treatment table when they were working on your leg,
yeah,
were you thinking of us? Were you thinking, oh, I wish I was doing the show?
Yeah, that's exactly what was going through my mind.
That's what I thought.
Right, should we crack on then, lads? Because Vicky Grimley's been in touch on the back of last week's episode to say it was so interesting hearing Jermaine talk about retirement last week.
Oh, you missed that one, Pat.
No, I listened back to it.
You only listened to make sure it wasn't better without you, didn't you?
To make sure we're not talking about him.
Yeah. Have a little sneak peek. Yeah.
And Vicky says, Jermaine, have you ever thought about setting up your own retirement support for players whose careers have ended early or gone to the PFA and talked of setting up something like that?
In a nutshell, no.
Okay. I feel like you're keeping your answers short and sweet because you're enjoying that vegan magnum. Would you do something like that?
I don't think I'd set something up, but I would be more than happy to have a chat with fellow ex-pros from a variety of different sports and just give my thoughts and opinions and my experiences on some certain bits that I've been through, certain situations that have happened since I've finished playing, and thought processes. But if I'm honest, no, not really. Not really.
You're a very busy man though, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm quite busy. I'm quite busy, yes.
But there is a space for that kind of thing, though, Jermaine. Do you think it would be beneficial, you know, for former players to get together and contribute? I know you're desperate to eat your magnum, but just answer this question.
No, don't worry. It's not melting that much, so it's fine. I'd much rather talk to you lot. What was the question? Sorry, I was just
it's not even sidetracked.
Comes up late, scoffing a magnum, not listening. This is brilliant.
Yeah, Jermaine, there is a space, isn't there? There is a space for that kind of thing where players can get together and put forward their ideas based on their experience in retirement to help
definitely,
other players.
Definitely. Unless you're proactive like myself and you really reach out to all the past clubs that you've been at and explain the situation that you're in, how you're feeling, your thoughts, where to go from there. There aren't really many clubs that are open in welcoming players for that. So there's definitely a load of improvement that needs to be done, not just for football players or rugby players or sportsmen or women. I mean, like people in general, you know. So I would like to think that we are one of the more forward-thinking, pioneering clubs that are open to that sort of thing. But the market is huge. There's a huge gap in the market. Matter of fact, leave that with me.
You just want to eat your magnum, don't you?
I did. You see what I did there?
Pat, have you, obviously, you're 27, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at 27, it's obviously not something you want to be thinking about. You're in your prime. But the point that we were talking about with Bex was that his career ended prematurely because of an injury. Is it something that you've thought about a lot, just like what you're going to do when the time comes, obviously when you're in your mid-30s, or if it comes, you know, God forbid, earlier than that? Have you planned for anything like post football?
Yeah, obviously in terms of like setting your affairs in order and all that kind of stuff to set you up for life after football, I've planned for things like that. But when you're a scholar coming through any academy, I think you automatically do your first few coaching badges to kind of give you an insight and obviously give you a chance if you struggle in the football world to then go into the coaching side of it. But for me, I'm not too sure that coaching would... I wouldn't mind doing like one-on-one striker coaching and stuff like that. Mm. But I'd much rather like work in kind of the pundit side of it, I think. Like watching the games, analysing it after, like going to watch, basically getting paid to go and watch football.
And yeah, right. I won't mind that. We don't want to talk too much about you retiring, but do you? We were talking to Bex last week about, as I'm sure you're aware because you listened intently to last week's episode. We were talking to Bex about things that you miss and trying to acclimatise to civilian life. And do you think you'll struggle to adapt? You'll miss the training and the routine and sort of all the things that. You wake up in the morning and you know exactly what you need to be doing. Are you going to miss that, do you think?
I think a little bit, yeah. I think it would, like with anything, there's probably going to be an adjustment period. But one of them things, I'm not, obviously I'll miss football and it's something that I love doing, but I know eventually that it's going to end at some point. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm just kind of thinking like make the most of it while I can and then kind of see what comes of it at the end.
Do you look at someone like Jermaine and go, you know, he's sat there now chewing on his Magnum stick. That is the life I want to lead in the future post-football.
I wouldn't be having a vegan Magnum.
You say that now, Patrick.
I was thinking more of the kind of Peter Crouch sat on a podcast having a beer kind of vibe, maybe.
I've already tapped him up to sign for the Orlando Whites. Once his professional career finishes, he's going to be out here playing for me, so... Absolutely.
Also, guys, Tim Wilson's tweeted us a question. He says, I was stood next to Stuart Dallas today in Weatherby. Not only plays amazing, he smells it too. Can we find out his aftershave for the next Leeds United podcast, please? We've already answered that, haven't we? We all agreed it was definitely a brute kind of guy.
I mean, that's what I thought. That's what I called. He felt like it would be a brute kind of guy.
Pat, do you know what he actually wears? Is he a brute man?
I'm afraid to say he's not, no. Oh. He's a Maison Francis Kirk de Jean Baccarat Rouge, if you know what that is.
Oh, that's Matelin.
Sounds very posh.
I've read that it lays on the skin like an amber, floral and woody breeze, a poetic alchemy. A graphic and highly condensed signature. That's the Baccarat Rouge 540. And that's Dallas in a nutshell, isn't it? That's
yes. I mean,
pretty much sums him up.
I'm disappointed that I didn't call that, really.
Well, thank you so much for sending your questions and comments in. Please do keep them coming in using the hashtag LUFCpods. It feels like forever ago that win over Fulham, Patrick, but how are you feeling after that?
To be honest... 2 days after the game, I was struggling to walk. Oh. I was in the right pickle. A little bit better now. But I went into the game. I actually didn't expect... I know Marcelo said in the press conference the day before, was it, that I'll be fit and expected to play. But I didn't think I was going to be able to play until I did the fitness test at the hotel the morning of the game. And even then, I thought, I'm going to struggle here. And the fitness coach was like... No, you'll be all right. I was like, no, Benny, I'm struggling a bit here. He's like, no, trust me, you'll be fine. So it was kind of one of them where I'm in my head, I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to play this game. But I'm glad that they pushed me through it because once the adrenaline kicked in and everything kind of worked out the way it did, it was a good job I did play.
I'm glad you played because you got me 22 points in my fantasy team. So I was buzzing with that. So much appreciated. Ma, take that back. You got me 30 points because you got an assist as well for Raf, didn't you?
Yeah.
There you are. Yay! And Raf gave me 8 points. Buzzing with that.
Do you get bonus points for man of the match as well or not?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Do you have to finish the game though?
No, you don't. I don't know. You know what? This is another one of those hammer on TikTok things. I'm saying it with a lot of conviction, yeah. But I'm not sure it's
Say
true.
Say it like you know, and we'll believe you, Patrick.
just for those of you who are unaware what he's talking about, Pat came into the show today very excited about this new life hack he discovered on TikTok. About something about a hammer and a screw. I don't know what he was talking about. So Pat and I both went and got our hammers and isn't it?
Yeah, load of shit.
Not true at all.
It was 2 minutes of chat out of my life that I'll never get back. So cheers, lads. Yeah. Thank you. <Sorry. laughs> But Pat, how are you feeling now?
Okay. My cough's sore, but there wasn't any tear or anything. It was just... needed a bit. It's a bit of overuse, basically overcompensating, so it'll be all right.
Will you get the time to rest, though?
Yeah, to be fair, we had the... what was it? We played Friday. We had Saturday, Sunday, Monday off.
Oh, good.
So rested, then had scan Monday, Went in for a bit of treatment, and then I've had treatment the last 2 days. I think I'm probably trained back end of this week. So yeah, they've given me a few days to kind of settle it down a bit.
Well, you've broken the London curse, Patrick, and you've got a bit of resting time now. And then after the Sheffield United game, you've got Man City, Liverpool and Man United consecutively. Yeah. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, they're the games that you want to play in because there's no pressure. I think that everyone expects us to go against those big teams. And well, actually, maybe now they expect us to do a lot more than they did at the start of the season. But ordinarily, they'd be like, yeah, it's a team that's just come up against the big four. Then they're not expected to win, whereas it takes pressure off and all the pressure's on them.
Obviously, the game against Liverpool, first game of the season, lost 4-3, but it was an amazing game. Obviously, first time back in the Premier League, scored 3 goals against the Premier League champions, which was incredible. We owe them one because they robbed us at the end of it. So there's that one. Man City, 0-0. Very good result, in my opinion. Still, I think we could have won that game. Should have won.
1-1. It was
1-1. It was a draw. Doesn't matter what the score is. It's a draw. Still get the same points. It could be 9-0. You still get the same points. And the other one that I'm not going to mention was bad. And we absolutely owe them one massive one.
Yeah.
No pressure.
In your mind, do you have... you know, an idea of where you realistically think, do you know what, we could finish there?
It's easy. Well, in one-off games, we've played against the top teams and top four teams and we've beat some of them. And I think that it's kind of wrong to say because we've beat them that we could definitely get top four. But if we got a bit more consistent, I think that top 10 should be a minimum. I think the way we play, and if we shore up a little bit and do get that consistency, then there's no reason why not.
But shoring up the defence is one of those positions that we've struggled with through injuries, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, with Llorente, with Robin, with Coops, you know, those boys have been injured for pretty much the majority of the season between the three of them. And then you look at Stewie comes in, plays fullback or in the middle. You've got Luke, Billy playing in the middle as well. You got Alioski on the other side. It's almost a mishmash defence to some extent. So by shoring up the defence, that's naturally gonna happen within the next, well, within the remainder of this season, but moving into next season as well. I it's not an issue for me. It's not a position I feel we need to improve on or strengthen. I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm not in terms of just specifically the defence, because they're kind of the reason why the defence get sometimes opened up is because of what we do up the top of the field, because of the way we play. If we're late to a press or we're not quite on it and we're not quite aggressive enough, it puts everyone a little bit out of time and out of position. And that's when you see teams kind of cut through us sometimes. So I don't think it's necessarily an issue with the defence. I think that actually all the back four and or back five with Ilan have been brilliant when they played. It's just as a team sometimes a little bit off it.
For Melier, is he building up quite a bar tab with you lot with some of the saves he's made in the last few weeks? I mean, how extraordinary has he been?
Mate, he's actually unreal. He's so funny as well, because he's like, he's really down to earth, but like when he's taking the piss, he'll like pretend that he's really big time and like just pretend that he's too big time to take shots against in goal and stuff, just winding people up. He is funny. He's a good guy. He's got me a present actually. He FaceTimed me the other day at midnight in bed. And bear in mind, France are an hour ahead and he's away with the national team. But after the Fulham game, he was like, I need your shirt, please. I said, yeah, it's fine. I said, who for? He said, oh, Dembele. I said, wait, who? And he's like, the guy from Barcelona. I was like, what? He wants my shirt. He's like, yeah, he wants yours and Calvin's shirt because he's a... he's a massive fan of Leeds. He watches every game. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. So I said, okay, well, you've got to get me his shirt then in return. So he FaceTimed me at midnight the other day and showed me this Barcelona shirt. It says, to my bro Bamford from Dembele.
No way.
So that's quite cool. Yeah. Nice. So,
did he write it or was it Dembele?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping it was Dembele. It was a Barca shirt. So.
Check the handwriting.
It was signature, so.
Oh, that's sick. That is wicked. I love that.
So you're saying Dembele signing in summer? Is that what we're saying?
I don't want to start a rumour, but... I might scribble on the shirt, see you soon, and then just take a picture of it.
You heard it here first. Well, look, Patrick, we didn't get to congratulate you and celebrate your 100th appearance for Leeds United, which of course was the Chelsea game. So exactly that. Huge round of applause. Matt, can you give it some welly?
Come on, mate.
There we go.
It's a nightmare for Dave, that's all.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, producer Dave, who's got to edit this. But huge congratulations, Patrick. Obviously, you must be buzzing with that. But what's your proudest moment in those 100 games?
Proudest moment? I think getting promoted, I think, is the biggest one, obviously. But I think scoring my first goal, it was in the cup against Bolton. But as a striker, getting your first goal for your new club's kind of a big thing. And I think it was my first start as well. So that was important for me.
And what's the biggest change that you've seen at the club in your time being here?
I don't know what it was like before I joined. But from what everyone said, that there was a massive change before Marcelo came and then when he arrived. And obviously I arrived at the start of his kind of tenure. But since I've been there, we've just kind of grown. Like, we've evolved and we've kept growing. And I think that you've seen players that... I'd played against players in the Leeds team who were a mid-table team and now... they're more than accomplished players in the Premier League. So I think that the way that everyone's grown is probably the biggest difference.
And Jermaine and Matt, obviously, you've watched the club develop in that time as well. Did you recognise that change, you know, when Marcelo Bielsa did come?
Yeah, I mean, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it? I mean, the difference between, and Andrea taking over the club is kind of obviously the start of that. Ever since Marcelo's come in and we've talked about it on the show multiple times, it's so incredible just how different it is from 5 years ago. And even if we hadn't got promoted, obviously that was the main aim and it's been a fantastic success story. But even if we hadn't been, just the feeling of it feels good to be watching Leeds again. Like, there were so many years where you were watching Leeds United and it really was not enjoyable at all. From what was going on the pitch, but mostly what was going on off the pitch with the chaos with previous owners and God knows how many managers we went through and it was embarrassing at times, you know, when we're signing these, you know, managers from nowhere that no one's heard of and people are getting fired and then 24 hours later they're not fired. It was just chaos and it was embarrassing on like a world stage, especially for a club as global and big as Leeds. And so now that's all gone and no one's laughing anymore and it feels just great to be a Leeds fan again. It's incomparable. Like, I can't even, like, it, I guess Pat's lucky that he's only played during the good times.
Good times.
And Bex, to be fair, Bex, like, obviously you had it a bit tricky, but you left before it got really bad. So you both
a bit tricky.
Yeah.
You haven't been. Flipping it.
But for you, Patrick, I mean, obviously, like you mentioned there, Matt, Andrea came in and he had this vision and goal of where he wanted the club to be at. And then Marcelo came in and everything did just seem to change. Do you know if Marcelo Bielsa is truly aware of the change that he has created at this club, Patrick? Does he seem to know what he's done?
I think, look, he's a very intelligent man, so I'm sure he knows the kind of impact that he's had. I think that he's the kind of person that everyone's seen from videos and the way that he is with fans and stuff, that if you said to him, you've changed this club so much, thank you, he would be adamant that it's not him. And he would say that it's everybody else but him who's done this. Whereas realistically, I mean, obviously Andrea, as Matty said, is the one who's appointed him and put a load of money into the club and got us into the position to be able to get Marcelo. I think that Marcelo is the one who's kind of, he's changed the ethos of the club, that the way we play, everything around the club day to day. And so for me, he's the one who's made the biggest change is just getting him to accept it or admit it would be kind of difficult, I think.
He's painfully humble, isn't he? He just will not accept any kind of praise whatsoever for anything.
But that's part of his charm as well.
Absolutely. I was just reading that he... So when he paid for all the training ground and stuff at Newell's, he didn't want anything to do with him. He wanted no plaques, no photographs, nothing to acknowledge that he was the one that had done it and changed the club's fortunes around. And so what they did was they drilled 22 holes into one of the walls. And in Argentina, I think what they do is, it's a bit like they have nicknames for bingo in the UK, you know, like Two Fat Ladies and Ducks in a Row and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They have nicknames for their numbers in Argentina. And number 22, the nickname is El Loco. And so they had to do this really kind of surreptitious, this hidden clandestine honour for Bielsa at the training ground so that he wouldn't come in and notice it. But they had to do something to acknowledge that it was him.
He must hate walking around Leeds then, because there's like murals of him everywhere. So he must have to walk around with his eyes shut.
And people constantly bow into him.
Yeah, yeah. But look, sorry, Patrick, we digress because we were celebrating your 100th appearance and then we've just turned it into a whole thing about Marcelo, so apologies. But Matt and Jermaine, do you have a favourite Patrick memory? Apart from joining him on this podcast, obviously.
Yeah, apart from that.
Do you know what? There's so many to say. One of my favourite things seeing is Pat scoring in training and then running up to Bielsa in training. You know, it was super cute. No, but there's loads of moments. I think for me, it's got to be the first goal back in the Premier League. That's the moment where, for me, everybody that had doubted Pat and said he couldn't score in the Premier League or he wouldn't be good enough or whatever, that was the moment where he stood up and said, there you go, have some of that. How's that humble pie taste? You know, and that was the first of many, many steps that he's taken. And he's just been incredible. A breath of fresh air in the Premier League and for Leeds and leading the Lion really, really well.
Oh, look at his face. He's so happy.
I'm not used to this.
I know.
That's how you know it's genuine. Listen, I'm having one of those days today, guys. Honestly, ask me anything. I give you anything.
Hey, can we give him a vegan magnum every week? Just before the show.
I'm in a good mood.
Patrick, it's not going to stop there because Matt's now going to say what his favourite memory is.
That's my turn now.
Oh my God! How long have we got?
I know. Well, you know what? Like, I agree with Bex in that the thing about Pat's sort of career at Leeds, it's been this kind of, well, I mean, probably your whole career, by the sounds of it, chatting to you, it's always been this kind of this fight against preconceptions and against the adversity of. Just people chirping up saying you're too soft or you're not good enough or you're not this, you're not that. And then every single step just sort of proving those doubters wrong. And yet, even now, you know, 14 goals later in the Premier League, you're still hearing it. And it's like, I think of the thing when I read the question, the first thing that popped into my head was that hat trick against Villa. And the reason was, largely from what Beck said, is that you're in the Premier League. You score against Liverpool, it's like, yeah, but it's a fluke, he won't do it next week. And then he scores again, and it's like, oh, well, you know, everyone scores a couple of goals. It's just like all this kind of chat. And then at Villa, you were getting roughed up as well. And so it was like two birds with one stone. It's like, not only am I going to score a hat-trick to show you that I can do it, but also...
And what a hat-trick it was, by the way.
And I had fantastic goals. We're not talking tap-ins, we're talking three great goals. Well, one tap-in. Two great goals. but the point is that it showed that strength of character as well to say, look, these Premier League players are trying to rough me off the ball and I'm going to show them what I can do. And that was the moment I realised that you were going to be more than, you weren't going to be just fine in the Premier League, you were going to excel. And then here we are, bloody 10 goals later, wherever it is. So I remember that hat-trick vividly.
But Patrick, for you, because I mean, we've spoken about how humble Marcelo is, but you very quietly, like Matt says, you've kind of got your head down, got stuck in and proven people wrong. Is there secretly and quietly within you, you know, a pretty happy voice there with what you've achieved, particularly this last season so far?
Yeah, I think I never want to say that I'm happy because then like I'd be kind of content with where I'm at and just want to keep going. But there is that thing that in my head, I'm thinking, if I hit 20 goals, I'm just thinking people who said I wasn't good enough, like they're basically eating their own words. And I've always said, maybe not publicly always said, I think I'm good enough, but I've always believed it. And so for me, it was like kind of proving that to myself.
Do you know what? Even if you didn't score another goal between now and the end of the season, nobody can say that this has been a poor season from you, that you haven't been able to achieve certain heights, that you haven't been able to showcase your talents. Nobody can say any of that stuff to you. You've proven a point to absolutely everybody, to the point where Gareth Southgate even said, you are that close. It was a toss-up, a flip of the coin between you and Ollie Watkins. That's massive. So nobody can doubt you. And as a striker, you have to have that level of self-belief and self-confidence about you. And you've got that, you know, without actually being a big-headed, prima donna, massive, egotistical kind of person or player. You've got it in abundance. And it's acceptable because you're a nice person and you're a nice guy. So, and you're Leeds number 9, obviously. That doesn't hurt, does it?
Helps a little.
Do you know what's funny? We're sitting here and we're falling into that trap again that we've always talked about how if you're a striker, people only care about the amount of goals you score. But we're completely ignoring the fact you've got God knows how many assists as well. You've picked up several six assists, 14 goals, 6 assists. You've got what, 2-3 man of the matches? And it's like all that stuff is probably not going to get talked about. The stuff that you're doing as well as scoring the goals, which is what we at Leeds have always known you do. But now you're scoring the goals as well. Like, I mean, what a performance it's been this year. And as Beck says, even if you don't score again, which won't happen, but even if you don't score again, it's everything else that you're bringing. I mean, we didn't talk about it when we mentioned the Fulham game, but that pass to Rafinha for the lead second goal was perfect. It was weighted so perfectly. But anyway, it's all the stuff that you do as well as scoring goals. That I just think is what makes you the player you are, and so there you go. Patrick Bamford loving finish now. Move
I was going to say, I don't think that was even a question. I think that was just Matt telling you how much he loves you, Patrick.
That's
so
literally
just take it.
All that I heard.
Just take it.
one last thing, yeah, I do want to say. It. Incredibly, I was actually on some story came up on my timeline yesterday. I think it was you with your post-match interview talking about the England decision and all that kind of thing. And I went through the comments just to have a look. And what a difference 14 goals makes, because every single comment, and you know what football's like, every single comment was positive. And I don't think I've ever seen that for a single player ever when I've been looking through Sky Sports or ESPN or whatever. Every single person was saying, totally surprised me. What a player. Absolutely fantastic. Deserves to be in the squad. How humble is he? What a nice bloke. I really wish him all success. And this was coming from Liverpool fans, Man United fans, Chelsea fans. I can't think of another time that I've seen that. Even Bex didn't get that.
I didn't.
But just on that, though, because we did hear Gareth Southgate, you know, he came out and said it was so close between you and Ollie Watkins. Does that kind of spur you on for the next 100 games, Patrick?
Yeah, I think I said in the post-match interview that if I got... at the start of the season, if they'd mentioned my name for England, I'd have been like, well, it's kind of, that's a bit crazy thinking. So to say that, like, I've come this far and I'm actually kind of getting mentioned and he says I'm close to it, is like, it's unreal. Obviously, it's a dream to play for England. It's just one of them things that now, because it kind of, I'm so close, as he said, I want to kind of keep working and just make sure that I can put my name in the picture for every kind of time there is an international call-up. And if I do get called up, then brilliant. If I don't, then I just keep working hard and see what happens.
# Patrick Bamford for England.
Yes, let's get that trending. But it's incredible that, you know, that Gareth has noticed just how integral you've been this season to this Leeds United team, isn't it? It's amazing that he came out and spoke about that.
Yeah, I never noticed personally when he's at a game, but you always get told by the media guy after, Southgate was here watching and stuff. And I know he normally picks games where there's a few English players in both teams. So it's nice to know that he's kind of recognising what I'm doing and seeing the work that I'm putting in. It kind of just, it just pushes me to kind of go that little bit further and to see. It's just one of those things, you've got to see what happens.
Does he have a relationship with players that haven't been in the England squad before? Like, have you spoken to him? Do you know what it is he's looking for in a striker, or are you just got to keep playing your game?
I think just keep playing my game and keep playing the way that Marcelo needs me to play and wants me to play. And then if that fits in with his plan, then perfect. I know he is a good manager because I worked with him at England. He's very like man-to-man manager, England 21s, I should say. I had him there and he was good man-to-man management. He's good tactics and things like that. And he does like, maybe not quite to the extent the way that Leeds press, but I know that him and Steve Holland are very keen on the pressing game.
Before we move on, Matt, have you got any more love you want to share with Patrick? I don't want to take the opportunity away from you.
You've actually got a guitar in the background for a little serenade, if you want to do that.
Exactly. And a microphone in front of you.
It seems too good an opportunity to waste. Yes.
I'll sing the, I've learnt the JCB song just for you, Pat. I can sing that if you want.
Well, Patrick, look, I think it's safe to say that we're all very proud of you. So as humble as you are, are telling you that you're incredible.
Well, whoa. We didn't go that far. We said he's good.
Yeah. Even though Matty didn't sing. Yeah. Even though he didn't sing for it.
Well, get to 20 goals and I'll think about it.
Wait, can we strike a deal? If I hit 20 goals, you've got to sing the JCB song with the guitar.
With the guitar.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, go on in.
20 and you're singing.
Yes. That's what we wanted to see. Commitment.
Right then, we are going to move on now because, as we all know, unfortunately, the last year has also brought with it the sad passing of several Leeds United legends. And we've seen the passing of another, a true legend, Peter Lorimer. Now, Peter is Leeds' all-time record goal scorer, having scored 238 goals in 705 appearances. And he won a range of silverware, including two league titles, the Intercity Fairs Cups twice, the FA Cup and League Cup, as well as being part of the team that reached the finals of the European Cup Winners' Cup and the European Cup. Of course, we all know he remained a huge figure at the club throughout his life and he'll be very sadly missed by everyone at Elland Road. Jermaine and Pat, you must have your own memories of Peter.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have too many like run-ins where we'd have a sit down and have a long chat. I just remember at the kind of end of season awards, or if you go upstairs and you do like the, you know, where you used to do the man of the match or the, in the lounges and things like that. And I met him and spoke to him various times. And like, every time I've spoke to him, he was just a lovely guy. But I think that you can kind of judge someone's character when you first meet them and you know what kind of person they are. And he was just a lovely guy.
He really was a wonderful character with great stories. Jermaine, what are your memories of Peter?
Pretty much similar to Pat's. Every home game, he was always floating around in the boxes. And we used to go to different boxes together and just converse, you know. And he's one of those people, he's another one of those granddad type characters where, you know, he's lovely and kind and caring, but then he's got like a naughty little joke here or there, you know, and he's just brilliant, just really, really welcoming, really nice person, you know. So it would be a huge, huge loss, a sad loss, and his exploits for Leeds United won't go amiss, you know, they'll never go forgotten. The amount of cups he won, the amount of goals he scored, the amount of games he played as well, 700 plus games, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
And Jermaine, I think it says a lot as well about this club and about those legends that there is this mutual respect that stretches far beyond, you know, them just playing for the club. As you know, Leeds was where you wanted to come after your career. You wanted to come and work here. There's just something special about that, isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you get that from the energy around the place. Obviously not right now because we're in a bit of a crappy time, but you know, when everything's normal, I say normal, and the stadiums are full and you've got fans floating around and you could just sense it and you can just see it and you can feel it. And it's not really something you could put into so many words. It's more of a feeling when you get, when you walk through the door somewhere, and that's
like family.
It's just, yeah. Exactly like that. So it's an easy place to to be around.
It certainly is. And our thoughts are with Peter's family and friends. And we also heard the sad news that Frank Worthington, who scored 15 goals in his 35 games for Leeds, passed away this week. So we send our thoughts to his family and friends as well from everybody here at Leeds United. Patrick, Jermaine, Matt, thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us for the official Leeds United podcast. As always, please do keep your comments and questions coming in using the hashtag LUFCpod. See you all next week.
No better striker or volleyer of the ball in football than Hotshot Lorimer.